I make my world a paradise with a little common sense, goodwill, and a tiny dose of unselfishness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campbell, California, with instant inspiration. I make my world a paradise with a little common sense, goodwill, and a tiny dose of unselfishness. Now, my tiny dose of unselfishness, I just did. I told Ingeborg, continue eating your salad while I'm giving my talk. And so Ingeborg had my tiny dose of unselfishness. You're welcome, Ingeborg. Enjoy. So, I make my world a paradise with a little common sense, goodwill, and a tiny dose of unselfishness. Now, what is common sense? We think we have to be such great intellectual wizards and such wise Solomons and Socrates and so forth to work with people and help them and guide them along the path. Well, the truth is we do. We do have to have the wisdom of Solomon. We do have to be wise like Socrates. We do have to be indeed very, very, very intelligent if we're going to work with people in our world. Because if we are going to work with people in our world, we better really know what we're doing. And if we don't know what we're doing, we should not do anything. Now, do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you look at your world and you see your world with problems in it, your world doesn't have any problems. You do. We do. When I look at my world and I see things that aren't going well, I have a problem. And it's time for me to clean up my act. Time for me to get things in order, to be the kind of person that I really believe that I am and that perhaps I should be. But now, how do I do that? How do I use a little common sense? Well, if there's a problem, let's say there's a problem, and the problem is communication. And in the problem of communication, we're not getting across to each other. We're not getting the information across. And I'm very unhappy that the information is not getting across, even though I'm saying it in the clearest language I know how to use. And so I wonder, what is the matter? What is the matter? And then I go to you, my creation, and I talk to you one-on-one. And I say, well, how you been doing? How's everything going in your life? I speak in a very low voice. How's everything going in your life? Are you having a good time? Is everything going fine? I'm sure having a lot of fun. I speak lower yet. And you know, I wonder about that. And then the person says, hey, I can't hear you. And then I try a different set of voices. And then I find out that they can't hear me. They can't hear me. And that's the reason that I can't communicate with them. Because they only hear a little bit of what I say, and they're reading my lips, perhaps, and they're reading my gestures, my body language, and they're interpreting from that what I'm trying to say. And I'm thinking that they're being very unkind to me by not listening and not cooperating, not communicating with me in a harmonious way. And lo and behold, it's because they can't hear me. Because they can't hear me. Now, do people have that problem? I went in the hardware store yesterday, and I talked to the lady in the hardware store, Joanne, our very old friend here, and I was telling Joanne about my brother and a few of his changes in life and how he's coming along beautifully and how he's just enjoying life so wonderfully. And she says, has he lost his hearing? You know? And I thought to myself, good question. Good, he hasn't. Good question. But how many people would be perceptive to realize that people do lose their hearing? They lose their hearing because they've had extremely loud noises and as children or in work jobs and so forth, we're working with sledgehammers and then today's children, oh my goodness, we're going to find that about 40% of today's children have hearing problems of major catastrophe because they have their boomboxes tuned up so loud and with earphones on, just blasting it between one earlobe and the other, you know, through their head. And their ears just will not tolerate that. Those little hairs in the ear will get broken off and no longer be usable. So we can expect that we will have to learn how to communicate with people. Now, Herb, it seems like you are enunciating a problem, and you're saying the problem is going to be insoluble, and you have to work with the problem the way it is. Yep, that's what I said. The problem's insoluble, you have to work with the problem the way it is. And then what do? When a person can't hear very well, you speak louder so they can hear you. And what should you really be doing? Well, what you really should be doing is something that you'd never dreamed possible. You never dreamed it was your privilege or your responsibility. What would you do, Ingeborg, if you were dealing with a person that couldn't hear you very well? Would you speak louder? Oh, you'd write. Ingeborg would write the notes to them. But what would you do? Now, I'm talking to you today as a God Unlimited University of Healing program here. And the idea is I make my world a paradise with a little common sense and a little goodwill and a tiny dose of unselfishness. What is the common sense? Now, unless you feel very certain of yourself, don't answer my question, because you may be surprised. Now, what is the little common sense that we use with a person who is hard of hearing? No answer, huh?
Signs.
No. You see?
Listen to the heart.
What's that?
Speak with the heart.
Speak with the heart. Use signs. Ingeborg, use writing. Treat. We have the most powerful mind in the universe. You have perfect hearing. I have perfect hearing. I hear you perfectly. I hear you perfectly. You hear perfectly. Everyone hears perfectly. Everyone has perfect ears, if you want to call it that. Everyone has good hearing. Now, good hearing, let's say everyone has hearing. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Everyone has hearing. Now, does that mean it's less hearing or more hearing, good hearing or better hearing or best hearing? Hearing is a pure and simple thing. Do you have good eyesight or do you have eyesight? Do you have eyesight? That means you can see with the type of eyes you've been born with. You know, you can say good eyesight, but you don't want to say good because you have eyesight. Are you a good woman or are you a woman? Are you a good man or are you a man? Well, now, is there such a thing as a bad man? No. Every man who is a man is a man. Every woman who is a woman is a woman. They're neither good nor bad. They just are. Does that make sense? Okay, so you see, and that means your vision is compatible with what you expect to see in with your eyes. You hear, and that means you hear with what you expect to hear in this. Now, have you ever met Clark Kent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, all of a sudden now you remember. Mm-hmm. Who's Clark Kent?
Superman!
And what does Clark Kent do? He can look through buildings. He can hear what's being said, 100 miles away, virtually. He's got this stupendous hearing. And he also has the ability of not hearing, of only hearing in the scope that he's in. But yet, when he hears Lois Lane having a problem across town, he hears it, He hears it because he's tuned into this lovely creature who is very important in his life. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, that's Superman. Now, what's so strange about that? Nothing at all. The thing is, that's what we do too. Now, these idiotic, stupid mothers who sense what their children are going through when they're in service, remember we talked about that, where the mother felt that her son was facing battle or something like that, and so she surrounded him with her pure white light of love and said, "You will have a lovely experience there." And so he served on the other side of the ship. One side of the ship was being bombarded, and the other side wasn't. And he was on the side that wasn't. Now, why not? Why not? Now, how did the mother know that? Because physically and mentally and spiritually, her son is her creation. And so she's one with her creation. And she is tuned into her creation. She doesn't need to hear her creation speak to know what her creation has on its mind, because she created it. Now, Can you do that? Did you create this world you live in? Sure. Did you create this house you're in? Yes. Did you create your friends that you have? Yes. Did you create the people in Switzerland and Germany, and we're here in Campo, California? Did you create them? Sure. Can you be one with them? Sure. Can you say a name and then instantly come up with a mental picture and an attitude about them? And haven't you oftentimes said, I was just thinking about them, and you got a telephone call? You see, we are closer bound than we know. And if we would just use our common sense to create the world around us as a beautiful, wonderful, fabulous place, then that's what it would be. But we have a tendency to like the tragedies. We like the accidents. We like wars. We like these things. And, hey, do you read a book you don't like? Huh?
No.
Well, then why read a newspaper that's got stuff in you don't like? Huh?
No way.
Well, you see, you got to be decisive on that. And when you see the word war, you say no more. And you let these things be. But you have to make the decision. Now, when you see food that has a taint to it or a smell to it, do you eat it?
No.
You know that. When you see anything in life that is less than perfect for you, you do what? You let it alone. All right? I make my world a paradise with a little common sense, a little goodwill, and a teeny dose of unselfishness. Now, it could be a lot of unselfishness if you want to, but if you got a teeny dose of unselfishness, there's no more selfishness at all. Well, that's all you need is a teeny dose, because then you're total unselfish, and that's a beautiful thing. Hmm. You see, we are all living in a wonderful world, a world filled with grand and glorious experiences, a world in which we live in a paradise. And we are the doctors. We are the ones who choose the type of attitude we'll have about our world. Our world is our attitudes are the input of the experiences of our world. Our attitudes are the receptors of how we look at our world and how we are thinking about it. If you are in a happy attitude, you can tolerate a lot of interesting things, and you can even not have them. If you're in an unhappy attitude, you seem to attract to you, but you don't attract, you create. You create in your world unhappy circumstances. So from now on, let's be in charge. Let's take control. Let's be the ministers of our lives. Let's be the creators of our lives. Let's be the ones who make the decision as to what is right and wrong for us. And when we do that, wow, we've got the whole world in our arms, in our hands, and in our life, and in our love, and in all that other good stuff. So think on these things and know that I'm always there with you, thinking these things with you. And I know you're always there with me, thinking the good things with me. So I bless you this wonderful day, and I love you, I love you, I love you.